Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
Have you ever received what seemed like contradictory advice? How about this one? Practice makes perfect. But does that mean if I practice and practice, no matter how bad my tuba playing sounds, I could just keep it up? Because there's also this. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result. No? Okay. How about this one? Never give up. And yet, know when to quit. About right there, I'd say. In the running world, you'll often hear this sage advice: go slow in order to go fast. Somebody's getting advice right now. What do you do when you hear advice that seems to move in opposite directions? Well, today we're back in the Gospel of Luke, and we're studying under the Master Jesus. And as we settle into our seats today, what Jesus has to say might seem to contradict what he just said moments before. Remember last week, Jesus told us the famous story of the Good Samaritan, and in direct contrast to these religiously pious people who pass by the bleeding, dying man on the side of the Jericho road, this hated enemy, because Jews and Samaritans really did hate each other, this hated enemy stopped to help this man, showing that he was in fact the true neighbor through the mercy that he gave. And at the end of that story, Jesus delivers his famous punchline, "Go and do likewise." You remember all that. Serving people in need is central to following Jesus. And through this story, as well as through the example of Jesus, we can see how important it is that we stop what we're doing, that we drop what we thought was important in order to meet the concrete needs of someone who's hurting. That if we aren't serving others, we aren't following Jesus, period. Okay, great. We all get that, right? Hard to do, but not difficult to understand. There it is. But then Luke tells us a follow-up story, a story that is less famous than the Good Samaritan, but still pretty well known. It's a story of Jesus' visit to two sisters, Mary and Martha. And this story can seem to directly contradict the wisdom that we received from Jesus just moments before. From "go and do likewise," we now get "come and sit down." What do we make of this seemingly contradictory advice? Well, here's the story. We're in Luke chapter 10. We've got Bibles spread out. They're in the chairs if you want to use a paper Bible. Remember those? There's also on your phones, I'm sure, if you've downloaded the YouVersion app, which I suggest you do, have it at your fingertips and on your phone, and you can just listen along as well. We're in Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 to 42. Here's how it goes. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." From "go and do likewise," serving sacrificially when the need arises, to "chill out and relax. You're worried about serving too much." From go and do likewise, setting aside personal priority for helping others, to choose what is better than rushing around helping others. From go and do likewise, Jesus says, to come and sit down and listen to what I am saying. The story of Mary and Martha is a classic anecdote that seems to contrast service to others with devotion to God. And it's been particularly seared into the hearts of minds of servant-hearted women for centuries. How many women have felt always a bit more sympathetic toward hardworking Martha in this story than that slacker Mary in the other room? Yep. How many of you, men or women, have ever felt like you were the only one serving? And everyone else seems to be off enjoying themselves and ignoring your hard work to boot. Yeah, thanks for that honesty. Anyone else want to be as honest as, yes? Huh. How many of you have felt underappreciated, abandoned, even felt a bit of resentment toward those who aren't helping you? How many times have you wished you could just say what Martha says here? Jesus, can't you see me struggling over here? Tell her, tell him, tell them to get up and help me. I've actually heard some of you say that. And you've always felt this story has done a bit of a disservice to the hardworking servers among us. That honestly, Jesus should have said, oh, sorry, Martha. Hey, Mary, why don't we head into the kitchen, give Martha a hand for a few minutes, then we can all sit down and chat. Amen? Yeah. Isn't that kind of what we wish Jesus had said at this moment? But he doesn't say that. And here we are with these two stories of Jesus side by side, both offering key directions to followers of Jesus who are reading this book, who are gleaning this wisdom, directions that seem to point in opposite ways. One story says, go and selflessly serve like this Good Samaritan. And the next says, stop your ceaseless serving, sit down and listen like Mary. And like some of the seemingly contradictory advice we receive in life, we need wisdom to discern exactly how these things fit together on the ground, because they're both true. And we trust Jesus. He's the master teacher. We're his apprentices. And as people who are committed to learning from him, who are sitting at his feet to apprentice to his ways, we have to let stories like this develop the needed wisdom in us so that we can do what Jesus says in both of these stories. We need the wisdom to know when to serve and when to sit. The wisdom to know and discern when we are to be working and when we've just got to worship. The wisdom to be able to say yes to serving at the drop of a hat. And then at other times just say, nope, not going to do it. Even when there might be immense pressure to do so. The wisdom to choose to do what is truly necessary, which means at times rejecting what a lot of other people think is necessary. And perhaps we could put the question this way. What does it mean to have the heart of a servant who washes the feet of Jesus and by extension others, as well as a student who sits at the feet of Jesus? Because the truth is, this story we hear now does not deny the central task that we have to serve one another in love. That is an absolute given for the Christian life. Jesus calls his people to serve each other, to love each other in sacrificial, tangible, important, real ways. And the New Testament is peppered with instructions to serve one another in love, bear one another's burdens, use our gifts to serve one another, give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. There's just no way we could read a story like this Martha, Mary story as an excuse to not serve, to ignore needs, to overlook our responsibility to care for each other and to serve each other. I mean, that would contradict everything else we're told. But this story does push us to ask an important question. Is it possible, at times, that we let our service for others, even our service done for Jesus and done in his name, to prevent us from slowing down enough to simply be with Jesus? Could it be that our serving, our caring actions, our sometimes incessant activity, could it be that it has slipped from meeting the necessary needs of others to actually meeting some deep need in us? A need that will only ultimately be met by Jesus himself. Is it possible that we could end up serving more than even Jesus asks us to, when all he wants us to do is sit down and visit? Imagine you stopped by to visit an old friend, and that old friend never actually sat down to visit with you, but spent the whole time fussing over the meal, rushing around in an effort to make you feel more comfortable, which was not helping, shouting from the next room, or finally sitting down, but then incessantly jumping up again to get something else to make your visit better. Wouldn't you at some point just shout, "Stop! Stop! Forget it all! Sit down! I am here to visit with you!" Wouldn't you do that? You know, nicely. But sometimes our service to others can crowd out what we really truly need, which is to slow down, to sit down, to stop working, and just be with Jesus, to be with others. And when we struggle to do that, it is entirely possible that our service to others has ceased to be about the others and has actually become about ourselves. There are times, and we can recognize it within ourselves if we slow down enough to reflect, that we can feel the need to be needed, and I kind of like it. I like being needed. And that we're serving because of something we need more than something others need. And if that thing is unchecked or unchallenged in our lives, if we can't stop ourselves from helping others, we may find that our helping is not very much help at all. It'll actually be hurting us, and it can be even overwhelming to those we are serving, not helping them at all. As one writer famously put it, you can recognize the people who live for others by the haunted look on the faces of the others they're living for. It's hard to hear, but if our service for others doesn't flow out of our devotion to Jesus, it can actually become something self-serving or harmful to them and to us. But on the other hand, and I do want to offer the other hand, if we think that loving Jesus and being devoted to him is just always and perpetually sitting at his feet without ever acting on what he said we should be doing, without ever doing what he's commanded, without ever going and doing likewise, well, then we'll fall into the opposite ditch of self-absorption, uselessness. Depending on our personality, we're probably gravitating toward one or the other of those ditches. And so Luke offers us these two stories side by side so that we can see them. So that we can see how, in the way of Jesus, stopping to serve others and stopping to listen to Jesus actually go hand in hand in the life of his apprentices. Just in your own mind, which ditch are you most likely to fall into? Is it serving until you resent the people who are sitting? Or is it sitting until someone bumps you and you realize you've been neglecting serving altogether? Which ditch are you most likely to fall into? Well, Luke shows us how Jesus managed this really well. All over his gospel, Luke details Jesus' pattern of serving in ministry and then withdrawing for prayer, for time alone with his Father. Ministry and withdrawal. Ministry and withdrawal. That's the rhythm that Jesus lived by. From early in his public ministry, Jesus always did both. In right at the beginning we read, yet the news about him, Jesus, spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, it doesn't mean that this rhythm, this intention, always worked out perfectly for Jesus. No. There were interruptions, inevitably. Interruptions that then became the ministry that was needed for that moment. Remember the time, just back in chapter 9, when Jesus' apostles had returned from this intense ministry tour, and Jesus said, let's go away and retreat together so that you can be restored. He's going to take them on a bit of a holiday. But then someone rats them out, and the crowds, they follow, and they catch up with Jesus, and they just wanted more. And so, even though Jesus' intention at that point was to retreat with his disciples, Jesus pivoted back into ministry. And we're told that, I quote from Luke chapter 9, 12 and 13, Jesus welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. And then a little later, when late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we're in a remote place here. Well, Jesus decides to pivot them back into ministry too, and he says, you give them something to eat. Jesus insisted that his disciples follow his pattern, and in this moment, back into ministry. But then, and this is really important that we grasp, Jesus didn't just forget about the need to retreat and restore. Just keep plowing ahead on fumes, you know, flame out for Jesus. Instead, what we have is immediately following all this extra ministry, Luke then features two more stories about Jesus spending time in private prayer and retreating with his disciples. And all this reveals a central pattern in Jesus' life, a pattern he meant us to emulate. We serve and we sit. We help and then we withdraw. We give and we receive. We take time to minister and we take time to be ministered to. And this is vital. For if we serve without sitting, we are going to burn out. We are going to resent others. And we're going to end up operating from an overwhelmed heart. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever seen others experiencing that? But if we sit without serving, we'll fall into the trap of a privatized, self-focused religion that just results in an overfat soul. Blah. Maybe you've experienced that too. However, if we regularly sit and receive from Jesus, letting his love and his grace and his wisdom and his truth soak into us as we listen and learn, and then stand and serve in his name, willing to pivot from our own priorities, willing to do what is needed in the moment, we'll find that we can live a life of service that springs from the overflow of our communion with him. But there is an order to these things. And Jesus shows us that order, and he tells us this order. It's what he's telling Martha here. Look carefully at the life of Jesus. He always serves out of his sitting. He launches his whole ministry after being in the wilderness for 40 days, fasting and in prayer. He regularly, consistently, as I already said, steals away time to be with his Father, to pray, often taking with him a smaller group of disciples, but going away. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, to heal the sick, to proclaim the kingdom, and to die in our place. But in order to truly do what he was sent to do, he had to, he must, he did choose the one and only thing that was going to sustain him in all that seeking, saving mission. Regular, consistent time with his Father. He, even Jesus, had to be reminded, had to remember, had to reconnect with who matters most and anchor all of his action out there to his stillness in here. And now look what he's encouraging Martha to do. Look at what he's commending Mary for. Sitting with Jesus is the absolute necessity for sustainable service to Jesus. Serve out of the overflow of your life with Jesus, or you'll end up overwhelmed, resentful, harried, and sad. So what do we do with this? Well, in order to know how to serve and when to serve and when to sacrificially turn aside and meet a concrete need, we have to spend time with Jesus. We have to be learning his ways. That's how he develops that wisdom in us. In order to know when to sit down, when we should not be serving, when helping would in fact be hurting, we must spend time with Jesus, learning his ways. We must be willing to make intentional time with Jesus an actual priority in our lives so that our service to Jesus remains joyful and helpful. And what's more, we need to receive this as a gift from Jesus himself, the gift of rest, an invitation to slow down, to not try to be everyone's fixer and everyone's servant, but to slow down and just be with him in quiet, in stillness, with laughter, with joy. And for those of us who do have a hard time slowing down, this might take some honest, vulnerable confession of the ways we've served that aren't coming from an overflow of our time with Jesus, but something less holy and less healthy within us. But my friends, you really need to hear this. Jesus actually wants to spend time with you. It's how he shows you his love, his grace. It's how he develops his mind in you, his wisdom in you, that you actually matter more than what you do. You matter more than what you do, and Jesus longs for your service to others to be an extension of his service to you, for your ministry to others to be bubbling over from his ministry to you, for your work for him to be an expression or a byproduct of your worship of him and his work in you. Jesus actually wants to hang out with you and spend time with you. He wants to listen to you and to speak to you, to laugh with you and remind you of what's true and to tell you again and again who you actually are and why you matter to him. And he does this so that your life of service is anchored in your life with him. Hear this. Time with Jesus is for your good. And all other goods flow out from that. And so let's talk about what this might look like, practically speaking, just as we close. The first thing is, and I know this is old hat for so many of you, but for some it's not. For some we know it, but we haven't done it. The first thing is that we do need to have a set time with Jesus. To have a regular, intentional connection with him. Daily is best, regular is what matters. And you don't have to just sit. You can walk. You can stand. You can lie on the floor if you want, but you might fall asleep because you're overworked and tired. And then Jesus will say, go ahead, sleep. But to set time with Jesus with intention, like any good habit, not leaving that up to chance, but actually having a favorite chair or a favorite walk, a favorite way to connect, where you actually intentionally look at your day, and just like you think, when am I going to eat today? Most of us don't even think that, we just do it. Who am I going to meet with today? Or what's on my schedule today? That you actually have a set time with Jesus. Maybe it's in the morning if you're a morning person. Maybe it's in the evening. Maybe it's over lunch. But there's actual intention. Like any good habit, you don't leave it up to chance. And so to actually set time up with Jesus. For those of you who are new to this, you start with a short amount of time, maybe 20 minutes. And you actually carve it out and say, this is time for Jesus. This is time for me to grow in my relationship with God. This is time for me to learn. I'll get to what might be in that time. But you actually set up the time with that kind of intention. Many people among us, particularly those who maybe have walked with Jesus for a long time, could help you with that if you need some help, because they would have rhythms and habits in their lives that would be set, and they could help share with you what they do. So don't be afraid to ask. Look for someone with gray hair. And for those of you with gray hair who have fallen out of the habit of setting time with Jesus, here's your warning. Someone might ask you. Because we all need reminders, right? We sure do. The second is within this set time with Jesus, but also throughout our day, to deliberately listen to Jesus. I want to offer three kind of basic practices. The first thing is to deliberately listen to Jesus through Bible reading or audio listening to the Bible. To actually listen to the Bible. And I would suggest that you have a plan for that, as opposed to just, you know, rifling through the Bible and looking for stuff, which can kind of work, but it can feel a little disjointed, that you get a Bible reading plan of some kind. There's lots on YouVersion, an overwhelming amount, actually. This year, Tennille and I are doing, together, we're doing the Bible in 1 year with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel's commentary. We really like that. Bible Project has lots of amazing Bible plans. You can start them anytime. But there's simple paper Bibles that can take you through. But even just a simple plan, like I'm going to read through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm just going to read them through and have a little bit of a plan for listening, deliberate listening through Bible reading. There's a lot of directions you can go with that, but if you're brand new, I would suggest you start with something like the Gospel of John, and you read it in combination with some of the Bible Project stuff, and you just proceed forward that way. For some of us who've forgotten about that, and maybe we don't have a plan right now because we've done it before, but we've kind of forgotten about it, I suggest you just re-engage with an intention. What's my Bible reading plan, my Bible listening plan? The second is to listen through prayer. This might be new to some of you, but we can listen through prayer by using set prayers, by having maybe a prayer list that we go through, by taking some key scriptures and praying through them, or we can just talk out loud, and we're listening as we're praying. We're listening to what the Holy Spirit's saying. We're listening, seeing what the Holy Spirit's saying in Scripture or other the wisdom of other believers who've written prayers, and we can listen through prayer in combination with also listening in silence, where we're not just the one talking, but we're actually disciplining ourselves to quieten our hearts and minds and listen to what the Spirit might be saying to us, what He said to us through the Word, what He said to us through prayer. And we take some moments, again, if this is new to you, to start really small. Start with just a few minutes. Even set a timer. It's okay to pull out your watch, set a timer for 5 minutes. You'll peek at it a few times. But try it, to listen in silence, to quieten your heart and see what the Spirit might be saying. Deliberately listen. The third, and it really emerges from the set time and from deliberate listening, is that we let the Spirit lead us in reflection. There might be things that come up through your time of silence, or come up through reading the Bible, come up through time of prayer, something inside your heart that you notice or recognize, and let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you in that reflection. Journaling can certainly be helpful to capture those thoughts versus trying to remember them. You can jot a few ideas or a few things that come to you, but let the Holy Spirit lead your heart and mind as you reflect through prayer to see what God is saying to you. In respect to our conversation today, some of you who might be more tempted to fall into the ditch of service without sitting, like Martha, perhaps through prayer and listening, you'll monitor things like places where you feel entitled, places where you are feeling resentment. Maybe you'll monitor things like anger or incessant people-pleasing. You might notice as you meditate and reflect and sit in silence that you're experiencing some envy over what others are doing or not doing. Or you're just simply exhausted because your Messiah complex has kept you going pretty hard as you've taken everyone's responsibility away from them and placed it on yourself. For those who are more tempted to fall into the ditch of sitting rather than serving, you might let the Holy Spirit prompt you to ask questions like, where am I currently serving? Who am I actually discipling in this Christian faith? What needs have I been ignoring, walking past, that I need to be meeting? And when was the last time that I stopped what I was doing in order to serve someone else with no expectation of return? Let the Holy Spirit guide you as you listen to the Word, as you pray and listen in silence. And then the fourth practical thing is to choose to sit with others. We're not meant to do this solo. That's a trap too. And often when we talk about reading the Bible and praying every day so that you grow, we often think of that as a solo venture, but it's not. Of course, it needs to be happening in your life, in your personal life, but there's so many ways we can do this with each other. I often talk and challenge you to find a spiritual friend that you can consistently walk with, connect with, sit with, to reflect on all these things together, to listen to Scripture, to pray together, to reflect together. Having a spiritual friend with whom you can trust and do that in confidence is vital. a covenant companion, I like to call them. But also, and an obvious connection for today and these next couple weeks would be, that you actually choose to sit with others by joining a connect group. By taking the next 8-10 weeks as we start connect groups in early February, as a key way that we can actually sit at the feet of Jesus together and learn together and be ministered to together, so that we're serving together out of the overflow of that. And so I do encourage you to sign up. Jesus has called us into service with him by sitting with him. You know, when he first called his 12 disciples to join him in his work, in the Gospel of Mark, I love how Mark puts it. In chapter 3, verse 14, he tells us that Jesus chose these 12 disciples, these apprentices, specifically, and I quote, that they might be with him and that they might be sent out. And that's Jesus' plan for all of us as his followers, that we would first of all be with him, to really live a with Jesus life. We're being with him and connected with him, living a life in Christ, is a real and vital, compelling center to our lives. But also that we would be sent out by him, ministering out of the overflow of this life with him. In the midst of all the ministry, he wants us to never forget that we should seek the one thing that will sustain us. The one thing, like Mary chose, that is really, truly necessary and needful. So that not only will we live this vital life in Christ, but so that our ministry will continue to be a ministry that is joyful and gives others joy as our lives are full of him and bubbling over for the good of the world. And when we do that, Jesus tells us that just like Mary, that won't be taken away from us. It won't be taken away from you. Let's pray. Jesus, in the midst of a busy life, serving you and serving others, we hear your invitation today to come and sit with you. And I don't know exactly how this rings out for all of us today and the different places and spaces we're in, the ways we're stretched, the ways we're serving, the ways we can feel alone in that service, be that to little children that are in our household, aging parents, difficult neighbors, even just the ongoing ministry demands or volunteer demands or family demands that we have. But Lord Jesus, I just pray that above all today, we would hear your invitation to come and be with you. And we realize that in the middle of it all, it's what we truly need. Help us by your Spirit to choose that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericksoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.